Good morning. Like I said earlier, it is great to see you. Glad you are here and decided to spend your day with us. We are beginning a new series. We're gonna begin to talk about the cross. Easter is 8 short weeks away, and so we are. In the Gospels, it talks about Jesus setting his eye toward Jerusalem, meaning that Jesus says, from this point on, I'm going to Jerusalem. My purpose is going to be fulfilled. I am here to, or I'm going to die on the cross so that I can fulfill the promise and the idea of Messiah, and I'm going to save man from their sins. And so he sets his eye on Jerusalem. So this morning I want to begin our journey of setting our eye toward the cross. This season we're gonna spend the next several weeks looking at these different sayings or these different things that Jesus says from the cross, and we're gonna look across all of the Gospels. Each Gospel gives us a little different glimpse of what the cross was like for Jesus, and so each gospel will highlight maybe a different saying. And so if we put them all together, there are 7 sayings. And so we're gonna take the next 7 weeks and look at the sayings of Jesus from the cross. And then on Easter morning, we will focus on the resurrection. And so we are going to begin to look at these words. It's interesting when we talk about our last words. We begin to think about when you're gonna die, and maybe you know you're gonna die. What are the words you want to tell someone? What are the things you want to pass on? What are the most important things that you want to say to maybe your children or grandchildren or your friends and other family? What are the things that you want to make sure that they know? Some of you probably have been in that experience before where someone wants to tell you something and they know the end is near and they have an opportunity to share and to pass on what's really important. And it's really in these final words of life that we see a glimpse into the soul and what's important to a person. And so Jesus is going to utter some words from the cross. And they're more than just words. They're phrases. They help us understand who he is. We get to gaze into his deepest desires, his deepest understandings, and we get to reverently try to grasp what he's teaching us. And so what I've done is I've taken these sayings, these phrases, and I've jumbled them down or I've pared them down to one word that we're going to focus on each week. Our first word our first saying is going to be found in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, it's a short verse. It's on your bulletin, verse 34. Jesus tells them, he says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. And so what I want to focus on today, Chip talked about it earlier, but I want to talk about the idea of forgiveness. And forgiveness is important for us as believers. It's important for us as people who need Christ. It's important for everyone. Because Jesus, you could say the heartbeat of Jesus beats forgiveness. And our message of Christianity is one of forgiveness. And so Jesus, the first thing he does, the first words uttered out of his mouth are forgiveness. And so this morning I want to grab a hold to these words and grab a hold to what we have to understand and realizing that Jesus' first words on the cross are a revelation of God and of Jesus' knowledge of sin. And so I want to spend some time talking about this morning. The first thing I want us to pull out of this verse or to understand is that forgiveness begins with God. Forgiveness begins with God. What does Jesus say? He says, Father. He's in the midst of a prayer. Jesus' relationship with God has been central for him throughout his whole life. Jesus spends time with the Father over and over and over again. In our last message series, we looked at one of those times where Jesus gets away and he spends the whole night praying with God. He wants to commune. He wants to be with the Father and spend time with the Father alone away from others. And the Father communes back with him and he talks with him. And we see in the Gospels other times where Jesus and the Father want to spend time together. You see, when Jesus is a child, he gets left in Jerusalem when he's about 12 years old. And Mary and Joseph, they get a day away on a journey. And they're like, hey, where's Jesus? And nobody knows. You know, it's one thing, you've probably had this before, like you're in the store and you look around, your kid's gone and your heart sinks. You know what I'm saying? You've been there? Imagine if you lose God. That's what Mary and Joseph did. They left God at the temple. That's more than your heart thinking. You're like, you left God. And so they have to turn around and they have to go back and they have to find Jesus. And they find Jesus in the temple and everybody's around him. And he's like, wow, this dude is really good. He knows a lot about the Bible. He knows a lot about God. And Mary and Joseph begin to tear into him. And Jesus says, but wait, you should have known where I was. I'm going to be about my Father's business. So Jesus is in the temple about his Father's business. Later on, by the age of 30 or so, Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. And when he gets baptized, all the Gospels talk about how he comes out of the water and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove and the voice speaks from heaven, behold my Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Father looks at him and says, I'm pleased with him. Later on in Jesus' ministry, he's going to go up to the Mount of Transfiguration, we call, or he goes up on a mountain, and when he goes up there, he spends time with Moses and Elijah, and the disciples are all amazed, and they're like, wow, man, Moses and Elijah's here. Isn't that great? And God says, hey, guys, you're looking at the wrong guy. So put your eyes on Jesus. So God the Father and Jesus are in constant communication, constant communion with one another. And so here on the cross, Jesus continues that communication. Jesus continues that communion with the Father. And the first thing he does is he cries out forgiveness. And he cries out in a prayer, not in a prayer of hopeless desperation, but in a prayer of confidence and in trust that he knows the Father will answer his prayer. And he says, Father, we need to forgive them, but you need to understand something. In order for forgiveness to happen, there must first be sin. And Jesus is someone who's never really personally experienced sin. He's seen the ramifications and the effects of sin, but he has not sinned himself. That's part of the good news of Jesus Christ, is that he's never, ever messed up. Romans 3:23, a famous verse that many of you probably know by heart, says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. We've all been disobedient to God. That is what sin is. Sin is disobedience. Sometimes by choice, sometimes by omission. We've been disobedient. We need to understand there's no returning to God. There's no restoration of our fellowship with God until we understand the wrongdoing, the sin that's in our lives. The problem today is we've got to convince people that they're actually sinners. because our society and our culture says, whatever you do, it's fine. There's no problems. You can do whatever you want to do. Everyone can make up their own rules. Everyone can do what they want to do. And so therefore, if everyone's doing what they want to do and they're not hurting, quote unquote, other people, then there's no sin, right? The problem is this. You've got to go back and understand what the definition of sin is. It's disobedience to God. Disobedience to God. So Jesus, his first prayer from the cross, his first communion with the Father, is one of divine forgiveness. Jesus desires forgiveness for those who are committing this act toward him. And so Jesus is aware of man's sinfulness. He's aware of man's need. He didn't need the forgiveness. We need the forgiveness. And sometimes we sin on purpose. Sometimes we don't. He understood the full ramifications of sin, and very rarely do we. As a child, and we sin against our parents, we don't really understand the ramifications of that. We just know our parents are upset with us for some reason or another. We may understand what we did was wrong, that it upset our parents, but we don't really understand all the different ramifications of that. But as a parent, you understand a lot better the ramifications of that sin. Now, likewise with God, Jesus understood the ramifications of sin much more than we do, which is why he knows that we need forgiveness. And so forgiveness must begin with God. But then we need to understand that we need an intercessor. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness requires an intercessor. As a sinful person, I cannot enter the presence of God. God is holy, God is perfect, and we cannot enter into his presence. And we need an intercessor. We need a mediator. We need somebody to go there for us. And before we become Christians, before we become someone who is bought and paid for and justified by Jesus and what he did on the cross, we need an intercessor. We need someone who can go in our place. And Jesus alone is the perfect intercessor. He lived the perfect life. He is the one who was the victor over sin and of death. And he is the only one who can bridge the gap between God and man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says that he made the one, being Jesus. Jesus is the one who did not know sin to be sin or to become sin for us, you and I. On the cross, Jesus becomes our sin. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus becomes our sin so that we can be the proof that God is righteous, that God keeps his promises, that God told Abraham many, 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 many years before that he would change the world through his seed, and Jesus becomes our sin, and we become the proof that God is faithful. But on the cross, Jesus becomes sin, and so we have a mediator. We have a bridge in the gap. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5, it talks about Jesus being the perfect mediator. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that was the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all and as a testimony at the proper time. Jesus is the perfect, the best, and the only mediator. Isaiah 53 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter in the Bible. In verse 12, it talks about who we are. It says, therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as a spoil, because he submitted himself to death. Years before Jesus dies, Isaiah is talking about Jesus. He submits himself to death and was counted amongst the rebels. And he bore the sins of many. And he did what? He interceded for the rebels. He prays for the rebels. He will one day pray on the cross, Father, forgive them. Isaiah points us to this 600 or so years before Jesus is even born. That we need an intercessor. We need someone to fill the gap for us. And as a great intercessor, he knows everything that we need. See, forgiveness requires intercession. Jesus says, forgive them. But it also requires, or it takes place and it takes the place and it understands all of our needs. Last thing I want to talk to you about is that forgiveness takes the place of all of our needs. Jesus says they do not know what they are doing. In the context of this, Jesus is talking about soldiers and the crowd and the people there who are doing the crucifixion. But how many times do we really understand? How many times are we really aware of what our sin and the gravity and how much our sin does to other people and to ourselves? We rarely understand this. Sometimes we hurt people and we do it knowingly. Sometimes we sin against someone and we have no idea that we have. Have you ever had someone come to you and say, you really upset me because you did X, Y, Z, and like you have no clue you did it? If you're a man and you're married, your answer is absolutely. Your wife has told you, you did this or you said that, and you have no recollection of it. I'm not saying you didn't do it. I'm just saying you don't remember. And the point is that sometimes we sin against someone and we have no clue we've sinned against them. Sometimes we think that we've got these secret sins that nobody else knows about, that no one else will find out about, no one else will see or hear about. We just don't understand the ramifications of our sin. Fathers, your sin will affect your whole family. That's why in the past I've talked about it and I will reiterate today that you need to think you need to think past the weekend and into the next 5 years. How will your sin affect your children, your friends, your family in 5 years if you just begin to say, sure, I'll do this. It's not that big a deal. And we teach our family that sin's not that big a deal. And oftentimes we fall hard into sin. Hey, moms, your sin will affect more than you. It'll affect your whole family. Hey, children, your sin will affect more than you. It affects your whole family. And Jesus says they don't really understand what they're doing. But you need to understand this. Ignorance is not innocence. Let me say that again. Ignorance is not innocence. Just because you don't really understand and you don't really know doesn't mean you're not guilty of something. Sometimes, maybe you've been pulled over and the cop says, do you know that you were going 65 in a 35? And you're like, when in the world did the speed limit change? I didn't know. And he doesn't care. He just says, can I see your license and registration? Say, but I didn't know. And he's like, that's great. Can I still see your license and registration? Innocence, ignorance does not mean innocence. And the same thing is with sin. Our sin affects more than just us. And that's why we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness from everything, the things we do on purpose, the things we don't do on purpose, the things that we think that nobody knows about but us. We need forgiveness. And the only way we need forgiveness is to recognize that we are sinners and admit it. And here on the cross, Jesus' first words are about forgiveness. Have you ever experienced forgiveness from God? I mean, real forgiveness. Where he takes away your sin. And Romans talks about us being a new creation, that we are now in Christ. And how do we do that? We give our life to him. We decide to repent, which is not just a change of mind, but a change of mind that reflects in our actions. We need repentance. We need change. We need to follow God and be obedient. Maybe some of you need to go to someone else and ask them to forgive you because you sinned against them and you know it. You did it on purpose. You knew what you were doing. And you hurt them. You sinned against them and you need to seek out forgiveness. Some of you need to forgive other people who have hurt you. And they may not even know they did. Maybe that means it's a conversation. Maybe that means that you just forgive them. And it's amazing what forgiveness does. It frees us. Because forgiveness doesn't really help the other person. It helps us. And it's this attitude of need for forgiveness. That we need forgiveness. We need to forgive others. So in the next few minutes, as you think about this idea of forgiveness. I want to ask you, who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to say you're sorry to? Who do you need to forgive? And the biggest question of all is, have you asked God for forgiveness to begin with? Have you given him everything? Realizing that you don't understand the ramifications of your sin, you don't understand the weight of your sin, you don't understand all that it entails, but you know that you have sinned. You disobeyed God. So as Chip plays, I invite you to stand. Spend time with God. And if you need forgiveness today, I would love to talk with you about that. Maybe you need to come up to the altar and forgive some folks. Maybe you need to come up to the altar and get rid of some burdens of people who have hurt you. Forgive them. Maybe you just need to pray for a friend. But God, we thank you that your promises are yes and amen. And that you promise that those who confess their sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us. So Father, I pray that today that we would confess the sin that ensnares us, the sin that holds us back, the sin that keeps us from serving you the way we should. We know that your promise is that you will forgive us. We thank you that on the cross you prayed for not only those who were there, but really for us as well. That you prayed for our forgiveness. And I pray that we would seek that forgiveness from you. That we would follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.